You're listening to the LCJ Q&A. As always, I'm your host, Lights Camera Jackson. This has been such a great year for guests, and as we're coming to the end of 2017, I may be more excited about this one than all the rest. Joining me right now is the star and co-writer of The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail, how you doing?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and I really want to congratulate you on your Critics' Choice and Independent Spirit Award nominations for The Big Sick. How do you and your wife, Emily, feel about all this award season hoopla?
Listen, it's exciting. You know, it's not something that we anticipated. We were a little surprised about it, you know, because generally awards always come out at the end of the year, and we came out in June. Mm. So we didn't know that this was going to be part of the story of the movie, but what a great little cherry on top of this delicious Sunday, right? It came out, people watched it, critics liked it, people liked it, and now, you know, we get nominated a couple times. It's great.
Yeah. So you've co-hosted the Spirit Awards before. How do you think it's going to be with you being a nominee and in the audience this time when you're at the Spirit Awards?
I think it's going to be a lot less stressful. Like, I love hosting it because it was with Kate McKinnon, who I'm a huge fan of, and she's, on top of being extremely talented, a lovely person. But it was stressful, you know, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of prep, a lot of writing jokes, a lot of making videos and stuff. I'm excited to go and just kind of sit and watch the whole thing. Have other people do the work.
Nice atmosphere, relaxing time. I saw The Big Sick over the summer, and I came out of it, and I thought, this is one of the most real movies I've seen in a long time. Was there any point when you and Emily were writing it that you felt maybe things were getting too real?
Yeah, there were certainly certain points where we had stuff in there that we were like, is this something we want to put in? It's so personal. And actually, Emily was the one who was a little more wary of that. I was like, yeah, put it in. Let's put it in. And she's like, no, but some of it has to be ours. But, you know, ultimately we put everything in, and then as you rewrite the stuff that falls out, that went back to being ours, you know. But we knew that writing and making this movie was going to be very vulnerable to us, that we were going to be revealing a huge part of ourselves to the world. And that's, you know, that's just the process of writing a little bit. Everything you work on is in some way autobiographical. For us, it's very obviously and nakedly autobiographical, but, you know, you're always revealing yourself when you make anything. So we just saw this as a very exaggerated version of that.
Mm. Did you expect the 9/11 scene and the 9/11 joke that you make in the film to be one of the ones that would really get singled out over these past 6 months?
You know, there was a lot of discussion about that. There were certain people who didn't think that joke was too harsh, you know? Like, they were like, oh my God, this is such an intense joke. And then some of us really fought for it, and so it stayed in the script, and people tried to, you know, there was those discussion again. People didn't want it in the script, but we shot it. It felt really funny. And then really it happened when there was still argument. It's when we showed it to an audience first, when we tested it, which is when you sort of show a rough cut version of it to an audience, and they give you a score, and, you know, you could get ballots and all that. When we saw it with that audience and the huge reaction it got immediately, we knew, like, we were like, okay, this joke works. And then since then, it's just sort of been exciting to see it, to have crowds watch it, because it's so surprising.
And I don't think a lot of people going into this movie expected to see this side of Ray Romano. Were you a big fan of Everybody Loves Raymond before you got to work with Ray on this film?
Yes, I was a big fan of Everybody Loves Raymond. I always thought he was great on it, and I always thought his character and performance was very grounded. In a multicam, when sometimes, you know, people are sort of wackadoodle and not as grounded. I always felt like he felt very real, even though he's in front of an audience. Mm. So I thought I was a big fan of his, and it wasn't, I would love to say it was my idea. It was Judd Apatow's idea to put him in. But as soon as Judd said it, we were like, oh my God, that's great. That's a perfect idea. Because we'd already cast Holly Hunter at that point. So I was a little nervous to work with, like, you know, a couple of these truly all-time legends, but that's also exciting working with them.
Holly Hunter is a Best Supporting Actress, Critics' Choice, and Independent Spirit Award nominee as well. There are a number of intense moments amidst this, inside this romantic comedy. Was the heckling scene one of the toughest ones to film?
The heckling scene was actually really fun. That was a scene that came out that we wrote pretty late in the process. I would say maybe we were a month or two from shooting, and we just felt like that portion of the movie needed something big. What was happening was, so her character Beth is called towards me, my character Kamel, and we knew that they had to thaw, right? But as we were sort of writing it, it just kept feeling a little arbitrary. It kept feeling like, why is this thawing feeling a little artificial? And we realized it's like, oh, what needs to happen is some big moment of catharsis, you know, some explosive moment where everyone can then drop their walls and be too tired to posture and just be themselves. So that's where we came up with the idea for that. And, you know, as a stand-up, I've been heckled with racist stuff often. So it just felt like the right thing to do is to bring her into the comedy club, have that happen, and then have her explode in a way that really isn't about that guy so much. It's obviously more about her just feeling so helpless.
And one of the other real memorable scenes of the movie, I laughed out loud, is your scene at the fast food drive-thru. I want to thank you for representing everyone who gets frustrated when the drive-thrus and the fast food places mess up our orders. What has been the most frustrating fast food drive-thru experience you've ever had?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, I feel like with drive-thrus, you get the order wrong more often than you get it right at the place when you, like, order something. Pay for it, you have it in the bag, you get home, and there's like a burger missing or something. It's just so frustrating because there's no way you're going to go back there and get in line and go up to the drive-thru thing and be like, hey, you forgot a burger. honestly, because of that, I haven't done a drive-thru in probably 3 years or so.
Okay, all right. And I got to mention, Lego Ninjago movie is out on DVD this Tuesday, December 19. You voice one of the characters in the film. I really like the scene where your character is talking to Garmadon and asking him about his arms. Was that ad-libbed or was that scripted?
That was ad-libbed, actually. They, you know, part of the process of this movie was we would record versions and they rewrite and then we'd come back and they'd say, okay, the story's changed and this way we'd re-record, we'd come back, re-record over and over. So that was a scene where they were kind of like, okay, so they have him in a cage, they're in the jungle, what would they talk about? They were like, we can just have a little scene here where it's just them kind of hanging out with this guy who's their enemy. And so we just sort of all of us were in the room together and we just started improvising and that bit came out of that improv. It was really fun and it's cool that you guessed that was probably improvised.
Yeah, I know. I liked it a lot. I laughed during that scene. And also, everybody knows you from Silicon Valley on HBO. What did your friends and co-stars on Silicon Valley think of The Big Sick?
They love it. They're so proud of me. They're proud of me, and you know they were all at the premiere, and they were all really, really excited. And, you know, they're just like they're thrilled. They're thrilled, and I'm excited to go back to. We're shooting right now. We're actually off till the new year now, but we were shooting up until a couple of days ago. So it's been fun to like have this sort of crazy journey with the movie, and then come back to Silicon Valley, which is what I've been doing for years, and I love doing it.
Yeah, everybody loves seeing you on it. So to wrap things up here, Kumail, what's the next screenplay that you and Emily want to write? Any more true life stories, or will you have to make some stuff up now?
I think we're going to, at least for now, make some stuff up, because we, you know, it's been very, very satisfying, but it's also a very personal thing. So I think I'm sure we'll write about ourselves again, but this next thing, I think, that we're working on together, it's going to be not as obviously autobiographical.
Well, we'll have that to look forward to. Kumail, I look forward to hopefully getting to meet you at the Critics' Choice Awards in January, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, of course. If you see me, please come say hi. Please do.
Absolutely, will do. Thank you so much, Kumail Nanjiani. The Big Sick, it's on DVD and Blu-ray and Amazon Prime now. Get it, watch it. It's a Critics' Choice Best Picture nominee. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This has been the LCJ Q&A.